Hiya, welcome to Misadventurous. Tiffany Rouge here. I thought it was time to give you another episode of...
So this is where my money goes.
The part of my podcast where I talk about money. Something that I feel is so taboo that I think really needs to not be taboo. So here I am having conversations with other people about their social standing, how they view money, how much they make, their outgoings, and everything in between. Now, I urge you to stick around for the end of this because there is a really interesting conversation that I have with this person about gender parity. So this is where your money goes. We'll always be anonymous to protect the people who make the money. But it's still a really interesting thing to find out what these people are doing and making with their money, because I think money's the universal language. So let's kick it off. So tell me, we're going to start off with how you value money. Like, how do you see it in your life?
I suppose I'm not one that puts a whole lot of value on money. I'm certainly one of those people who lives by the rule that I can't take it with me when I die, so I'm going to get rid of it all when I'm living.
Nice. I really like that.
So one of my faults, I suppose, some might say, is that there's a bit of too much generosity now and then. But, you know, if it's going to contribute to me having a good time, I don't care.
Yeah, nice. And fair enough. I feel like that's a really good way to live. So can we start then with how much you make per annum?
Yeah, just over 200K.
Whoa, okay. And breaking it down, we're going to per month.
Oh, per month, what does that work out to be? I think it's about 15K a month.
Wow. And then, so do you get paid weekly or is it monthly?
Monthly.
And after tax, what do you take home?
I think that's what I take home.
Again, that's awesome. That's amazing. That's really good for you. All right. So moving on, it was 15K a month after tax. How old are you?
44.
And what is the job that you have?
National maintenance manager for a gas plant in New Zealand.
Okay. And that seems like it's a very high skill level, you know, national manager. Did you have to, you know, be it for ages to develop some skills to then move up in the company?
Well, it's only the second position that I've had. So the first position that I had was the reliability manager or reliability engineer for a gas plant in Darwin, which is what I did in Darwin post getting out of defence. I did develop a whole lot of skills there. They were mainly to do with the gas side of maintenance, because I had never been exposed to a gas plant or the maintenance of the machinery that goes along with a gas plant. And essentially, I was able to build up some other skills there, a lot of knowledge there, and transfer that to the job that I'm in now.
Yeah, right. And you said that you were in the defence. Did your defence experience help you with the work that you're doing now? Like, have you had much experience, I guess, in the other side of that job, not the non-gas part?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that actually got me the position in the first place in my job in Darwin was the managing side of my skills that I got from defence. Time management, management of people, problem solving, and that side of it. And less importance, I suppose, on the physical aspect of the job. Because to tell you the truth, before I started in that job, I had a whole lot of information and experience maintaining equipment and fleets of equipment, and pretty much zero experience on maintaining plant equipment, so fixed plant and or anything to do with gas, basically.
So let's talk about then your location. Whereabouts are you right now?
In Auckland, New
okay.
Zealand.
That's a lot of what's in and your value, but let's talk about things that are coming out because of your money. So you live in Auckland. Do you live in the CBD?
Very close to the CBD, yes.
How much do you pay in rent?
$750 a week.
Wow, okay. How much do you spend on bills? You know, do you have any loans or anything like that that you pay off on a monthly or fortnightly or weeknightly basis?
probably only about $1,000 a month.
Break that down for us. So bills, are we talking electricity, phone?
So electricity over here is a whole lot cheaper than what I'm used to in Australia. So for the colder part of the year, which is now, you'd expect to pay between $170 and $200 a month, which is pretty much what I'm paying now.
Okay.
Have a car loan, which is $600 a month. Pretty much my other utilities are already paid for because of my work, so phone and what have you. And then just, you know, paying off credit cards is the remainder of that. I didn't really factor in food.
Well, let's talk about food then. So how much do you spend on food, maybe like a week?
A whole lot.
Well, let's talk about cooking, and then we can talk about the going out and everything like that after.
So I cook definitely twice a week, but more often three times a week I'll cook a home meal. And that's purely because that's the only sort of 3 nights that I get to spend with my partner. So we make sure that we having a sit-down meal sort of thing. Or in the case where we can't have a sit-down meal, I will actually cook the meal and take it to his work and we have it at his work sort of thing.
Oh, that's a bit cute.
After I finish my work, yeah. We're going to spend some time together, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough.
He works nights. But yeah, so three home-cooked meals a week on average. The rest of it is pretty much eating out. That's a mixture of me eating out for work purposes or just eating out because I'm out with friends or something.
So you go out, what, 4 nights a week if you're cooking 3 nights a week?
That's about right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for leisure, how often will you go out, I guess?
I've sort of cut down. I'm normally probably once a week these days. During the week, we'll go and do things like trivia night, or we'll go, if there's a food festival, Auckland has quite a few food festivals on, I'll go to one of them. That's one of the nights that I'll eat out sort of thing. But actually going out and going to clubs with my mates, normally only once a week.
And how much do you spend when you go out? Is there like a ballpark figure, like in anywhere it can range between so-and-so and so-and-so?
Anywhere between probably $250, I suppose.
A night?
A night.
Wow, okay. That's a lot of beverages. Adding all that up, you know, you're looking at, let's maximise it, $450 a week, and you're going out once a week, so that's almost $2,000 out of your $15,000, which is, you know, like, I'm guessing that's disposable money. You know, you're saying that you spend about $1,000 a month on repayments, and then there's that extra $2,000. Do you have any hobbies?
I've got a couple of drones, but since I've moved to, because I've only been over here for 7 months, I haven't really gotten into anything over here. So my drones are, I own them. I try and get out as much as I can when we're exploring around the country to just, you know, looking at stuff. I'll take the drones with me and have a play with them, but they don't really cost me anything.
Maybe are you into like kayaking, the gym or anything like that?
I go to CrossFit 6 days a week.
Is that expensive, CrossFit?
Depending on where you live. In Auckland, it's about average. Where I am at the moment, it's $260 a month. That's about average from what I've seen across sort of Australia and New Zealand. Where I've come from in Darwin, it was around $170 to $200 a month. But I know certainly in Sydney and Brisbane, you're looking, you know, $320, $340 a month. So we're about average over here.
Yeah, right. I thought paying, you know, $55 for an F45 membership was something substantial. Not something that I was unhappy paying, but, you know, you pay that for exercise. But it's amazing, you know, $300, $400, $100 a week. That's mental.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that something that's really important to you? Are you happy paying that amount?
I am happy paying that amount because it's sort of something people have obviously got different reasons why they train. Mm-hmm. The reason I train is so I can live the life that I've got. It keeps me healthy enough and burning enough fuel so that I can eat whatever I want. I don't want to be restricted. So a bit of pain in the gym every afternoon lets me eat whatever I want.
I'm with you on that one. Do you save as well? Like, is there, you know, we broke down, there was about $3,000, maybe $4,000 that you have as sort of outgoings. Are there any other outgoings?
Not really. I tend to only save if I know there's something that I want.
Okay.
So we are looking at a trip to visit some of our friends in Europe coming up at Christmas time. Probably September, that's when we'll start squirreling money away for that. Having been there recently and then a couple of years ago as well, I pretty much know how much money I need to get over there and how much the flights are going to cost. This time round, the flights are probably going to cost me a bit more because definitely going business the whole way. But yeah, I've got a fair idea how much I'd want to spend, so I'll get that plus maybe another 20% and I'll be sorted.
What is that? What's that figure?
Well, we're looking at about $8,000 for flights and then probably about another $8,000 for the week and a half I'm just spending over there.
Do you see that as, because you make more, your budget is of that substantial amount? Like, to you, saving $8,000, how long will that take you?
Next week.
Oh, I love how direct you are with that. Like, yep, next week. How does it feel, though? You know, you make so much money compared to, I guess, people who are, you know, under the 100 grand threshold. Does that bother you? Do you even care? Or you're just in that sense where you've worked hard enough to kind of get where you are and you're going to enjoy your money?
I'm not sure if I've worked hard enough to get here, but I am here, and I'm not going to be sort of held back by because somebody else is sort of just starting off in their career and they don't earn as much money as me. I mean, some of the people that do work for me, I'm horrified by what they earn, and at every chance we get, we try and, you know, get their salary up as much as we possibly can. But unfortunately, for some of the positions that people are in, there's a band, and you can't go outside of that band, otherwise it's outside of the rules and the rules of the company, sort of thing. So
yeah,
but I mean, certainly for the amount of work that some people I know do, but I don't think that they are. They get paid even near what they are worth to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, certainly, you know, I've gotten to where I am now, and I'm going to, you know, live within my means and have fun.
And do you enjoy what you do?
Love it. Yeah, absolutely love it.
It's interesting to sort of see that, and what you're saying is very true about how there's a band and people can't even cross that. Have you ever been on the other side of that band?
I been in that band and not being able to get above it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. In fact, this particular job that I'm in now, I'm well outside the band. In my interview that I had for this particular job, there was a band for this job.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't what I was willing to accept. And essentially, I put myself there as, I'm the product. This is what the product is going to offer. If you want that product, it costs this much. And fortunately, I got my own way.
It takes a lot of guts to be able to say that to someone as well, though, in any industry.
It does, but if you can back it up. No, actually, it takes a lot of guts to say it if you can't back it up. If you can, and you've got a proven track record behind you. Fortunately, I moved within my company, so they didn't have to look very far to find my track record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically where I was. So I think in those situations, you need to be bold, and to the point where I think you need to be obscene with what you're asking for, but then, you know, you need to have done your homework. You need to be able to back up, at least make it look like you're backing up what you're saying.
Yeah, true. Very fair. Okay, on to retirement. Looking at your retirement, how much do you think you want to live off when you retire?
Coming from, as I said, I was in defence before. And contrary to popular belief, defence is not paid a huge amount of money. Yet there's a whole lot of benefits on the side and what have you. But having lived with that amount of money beforehand, I'm pretty confident that I can go back to doing that again. Yep, I'm living a bit of high life now, but if I had to cut my spending by 2/3, I'm confident that I could do that. And I've seen many people do it. I've seen my parents do it. I've seen a lot of other guys that I've worked with previously who've gone back to simple living. And I suppose I imagine that once I get to my retirement age, I will have, I'll own everything that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much do that now anyway. But I don't imagine that I'll have any bills. So pretty much everything that I will have will be, I suppose, play money.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much money I'll be living off, but certainly, you know, setting my superannuation that is still in Australia, which I'll be entitled to once I retire.
Mm-hmm.
My defence superannuation is quite substantial, so I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, and will you get a pension as well? Being in the defence, does that happen?
No, that ceased in 1991.
Right.
You had to have joined the program in or before 1991, and I joined in 1994.
Okay.
So, we're not entitled to pensions. You still get pensions for things like medical payouts and that, but certainly not for just a person who just gets out of the defence.
Yeah. Where would you want to retire?
I've been musing over this the last couple of months, year, I suppose. I think I will probably end up in Europe somewhere. I'm not sure where yet, but it will be somewhere warm that I can do nothing, basically.
Take my dream, retire on a sailboat, and then you can just travel wherever you want.
Yeah, but then you've got to maintain the boat.
Yeah, and then you actually have to be on the water the whole time. So true.
I've actually thought of that. I've had friends who've lived on boats in Brisbane before. So it's an option.
Now, when I posted one of the previous podcasts on this, you were pretty vocal about how you don't believe in gender parity.
Yeah.
So I just sort of wanted to get your view on that, because I think I like where you're coming from. Your comment was something like saying, I don't believe in gender parity. It should go on the basis of the person's experience and things like that.
I believe that someone... I'm sort of in a higher and fire position now.
Okay.
And I definitely believe that somebody should be paid commensurate with what they are worth to me. And I believe that I should be paid what I'm worth to my boss. I don't believe that gender should come into it ever. I do understand that certainly across Australia, there is a massive gender pay gap. I think, yep, that's unfortunate, and it is definitely a consequence of some ridiculous, you know, injustices for women along the way. I mean, everybody's aware of how hard it was for women to get promoted, to get into even specific university courses and what have you. But I'm in an engineering role now, and at the moment, as of today, we've got 5 engineers in my department. 2 of them are female, 3 of them are male. One of those is not in an engineering role. So basically, I've got 4 engineers working in engineering roles, but 2 females and 2 males.
Were you advised to sort of get a little diversity? You know, did you sort of have it, or did anyone tell you, hey, maybe you need to split this up, or you didn't even look at any of sort of gender and you just pretty much looked at their experience and their, you know, their skills and stuff?
Well, 3 of them were already here when I arrived.
Right.
One of them's arrived recently. My company as a whole doesn't look at... I don't believe that people look at the gender of the applicant. We've got some outstanding engineers working in our company, and fortunately, a whole lot of them are female. The female engineers that I've come across in our company, a lot of them are in some pretty high positions, and they get... Yep, do they work harder to get there? Probably. But they definitely do their homework better. They definitely look after the attention to detail probably more than men do. Should they get paid more? Probably. One of the things that I don't know is how much they actually get paid. One of the things in my company is nobody knows, unless you are somebody's line manager.
Yeah.
You don't know how much other people get paid.
Is that for a reason, do you think?
It's a company policy. I don't know specifically why, but my opinion is so that if there's 2 people doing exactly the same job, i.e. let's say an operator, and they're doing exactly the same job, one may think that they are better than the other, and they find out that, you know, person A is getting paid more than person B, well then person B might be a bit upset about that. So it's actually borderline a dismissible offence within our company to talk to your colleagues about how much you earn.
Wow, that is huge.
Essentially, you need to prove what you are worth to the business. And if the business doesn't think you're worth that, well, then you're more than welcome to find another business that is happy to remunerate you for what you think you're worth. Coming from an industry, certainly in defence, where you get paid on your position, you don't get paid more because you're male or female. However, I do understand sort of in the defence industry, it was definitely a lot harder for women to get promoted when I was in. I know things have changed slightly since then. These days, the way they look at things now is get the job done, get it done safely, get it done on time, and get it done within budget. I don't care who. Do I go to specific people for different things? Yep. We've got many people that I know within the engineers that work for us. I know that each of them have their strengths. And is it because they're male or female? Probably not. But they all have their strengths.
And it's all an individual thing, right? It's like the individual has this unique set of experience, this awesome set of skills.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're a girl or a guy is irrelevant.
Yeah, I do believe 100% that in an engineering world, women have to work a whole lot harder to get there. But when they do get there, they are of the same standard, if not better, than some of their male counterparts.
Thank you for sticking with me till the end of the podcast. If you do want to get in touch, feel free to hit me up on Instagram, Tiffany_Rouge. Send me an email, thgrouge@gmail.com. Or honestly, just leave a comment with what you thought about this. If you want to be a part of this conversation, feel free. I would love to have a chat with you.